All right, Alexander, we need to talk about Huawei and the UK. It looks like the UK has decided to get rid of Huawei by 2027. And it's not going to be as easy, I think, as it's being presented, because from what I understand, Huawei is already embedded in a lot of the infrastructure, a lot of the existing infrastructure and whatever infrastructure is being built for the 5G. And there's a lot of money here that they're going to have to settle. They're going to have to deconstruct a lot of the infrastructure and the pipelines and all these things that are running through the network. But at the end of the day, it seems that the UK government has decided by 2027 that it will be Huawei free, free of Huawei. And the reasoning, obviously, is the belief that Huawei as an infrastructure player and what is really becoming an infrastructure type of monopoly. I mean, it's supposedly the best in the business at the moment. And anything that's running through those networks, that information would be sent right back to Huawei, the company in China, and by default to the Chinese authorities. So de facto, the Chinese government would have all the communication that is running through the UK infrastructure, everything that's running through the UK internet, in essence. So, what do you make of this story?
I think this is an inevitable decision. Actually, I'm surprised it's taken this long. Now, can I just say, you're absolutely right. The British tech companies, the people who do all this tech work in Britain, are apparently very upset by this decision. They lobbied hard against it. They developed very strong partnerships with Huawei. And the government is talking about a £2 billion cost. That's about $2.5 billion. The companies themselves, the industry, thinks it's going to be at least a £7 billion loss, so at least three times greater than what the government is saying. But the reality is that with Huawei now facing sanctions from the US, with the US piling on the pressure on Britain, with the extreme interconnection between Britain and the US, which exists, I mean, we are two countries that are very, very close to each other, with conservative MPs campaigning hard against Huawei, including apparently several members of the British cabinet, with the defense and security elite completely opposed to this. I mean, it was inevitable that this was going to be dropped. The only person who was really holding out was Boris Johnson, and I mean, he's been pulled round. Now, the other thing I'm going to say is, of course, that from his point of view, his priority now is to get Brexit done. He's not going to get an economic deal, a trade agreement with the EU by the end of this year. He has to get one with the US. I mean, that's the reality. At least work towards getting one with the US. He can't afford to antagonize the US on a subject like Huawei. So everything ultimately was working against Huawei. So this is a completely unsurprising decision. The thing that is really interesting about this whole story is why Huawei was ever embedded in British, 5G infrastructure at all, because I don't believe that the technology to pr develop 5G networks only exists in China. I'm not a high-tech person at all, as you know. I'm any kind of tech person, but I mean, I don't believe that this can't be replicated by other people. So why did Britain, which has its own tech industries, allow itself to be maneuvered into this position? Well, the interesting thing is that the Conservative government of David Cameron and George Osborne, that preceded this one and preceded Theresa May's government, was very, very keen to develop very close relations with China. They were talking about a golden age of Sino-British relations. And they gave the Chinese huge access to Britain's nuclear power industry, to British financial services. And of course, they brought in the Chinese to develop the Britain's 5G networks. Now, that has turned out very badly. I mean, not that the Chinese weren't delivering, but I mean, the geostrategic situation has changed completely. And all of those things that Cameron and Osborne were doing are now having to be completely unwound.
Huawei is, yeah, you're right. The technology, exists,
Yeah.
and it can't be replicated. But Huawei was
Yeah.
leading the charge
Exactly.
on this infrastructure in
Yeah.
5G. They were very aggressive with it and very aggressive in rolling it out, and they're very efficient. I mean, I knew someone in Russia that was working with Ericsson, and Huawei was their competitor at one point. Ericsson had, a very large portion of the Russian market. And when Huawei entered, I mean, they just blew them out of the water. They were just a lot more efficient in every single aspect. More, a greater workforce, more aggressive on the sales, better technology, just across the board. And they blew Ericsson out of the Russian market, pretty much. So, okay, Huawei was very aggressive, and they got a foothold in just about every market you
Yes.
could possibly think of rolling out 5G. The UK siding with the US, I'm certain, doesn't surprise China either.
No.
So they probably expected this. And this just plays into the greater game of a US China divorce. And
Absolutely.
the UK going with the US is part of that divorce package, I guess you could say.
Which is exact. That's exactly what it is doing. And I mean, at the moment, a divorce between the U.S. and China started to happen. It was inevitable that Britain would have to divorce from China also. All those policies that Cameron and Osborne, that the previous Conservative government was pursuing of getting really close to China, they just became impossible. They became politically unsustainable. And by the way, I completely accept that, Huawei is incredibly efficient. It's got all the high tech and all that. I am still surprised, actually, given, that China was already being thought of as a competitor state, that the British went along with Huawei to the extent that they did. But anyway, regardless of that political world in which those decisions were made has changed and changed and gone forever. So this decision was inevitable. I mean, it was bound to happen. By the way, I don't think the Chinese have taken it quite as calmly as you're saying, because the Chinese, and I've had dealings with Chinese people about this. The Chinese had convinced themselves that they'd forged a very close relationship with Britain. This is something that Cameron and Osborne were doing. I mean, so they too were talking about the golden age of relations between Britain and China. And for them, this very close relationship with Britain was something that they were touting to other people. They were saying, you must follow the example of what the British are doing. So I think they're going to be extremely annoyed that the British have turned so strongly against them. And of course, China and Britain have a very long history of antagonisms going way back into the 19th century. If you go to Beijing, you'll see that the old Imperial Palace, Summer Palace, which the British burnt down, the Chinese have left it burned down as a memorial of what the British do. So I think the Chinese, while perhaps not surprised, will nonetheless be annoyed. But having said that, this is an inevitable decision. It was bound to happen. Huawei will be the dominant company in places like Russia, but it will never succeed in a country like Britain, however great the cost, and however, much it slows down the development of 5G technologies here.
Yeah, we've been saying it for a while. The Chinese need to understand that they are not going to dominate the world when it comes to high tech and business, because the world is splitting, and there's a very clear
Yes.
split between who's going to be with the US and who's going to be with China. And each side is going to choose their technology, their infrastructure, and their technology partners accordingly. I mean, China needs to realize that they're not going to win markets like the UK anymore. And going back to your point, Alexander, I think, yeah, it's interesting to see that it took so long, but I'm sure this infrastructure has been building over many, many, many years. And there's a lot of money, running through these systems. So I'm sure this is a serious decision that the UK government did have to take, because, like you said, a lot of money is now going to be lost. A lot of time is going to have been wasted as well. But There you have it. Geopolitics. They have to side with the US. They have to get a deal for Brexit.
Absolutely right. And can I just say, this is another example of a fundamental point, which I make many times. There is always the idea that geopolitics follows trade. In my experience, and if you look through history, it's always the other way around. It's always geopolitics which determine how trade flows.
This was national. You could say this was national security related.
Absolutely.
In a way.
It was
definitely.
And can I just say, from a British point of view, this was the right decision. I mean, Britain's relationship with the United States will always be far more fundamental for Britain than its relationship with China. Any other opinion is delusional. I mean, it's illusory. I mean, Russia, which is a completely different country, may decide that, its better interests are to go with China. I'm sure that's the decision the Russians make. The British will decide to go with the United States.
Well, the West pushed.
The West pushed.
The West pushed Russia.
Exactly. I know, exactly. Anyway,
but can you also say, just to wrap it up, can you say that the battleground, I think the interesting part going forward, and we called this divorce about two years ago, we said there's going to be a divorce.
We did.
Probably both of us didn't expect that it would come so quickly.
No.
I think a lot of factors, including the CV and a lot of different other factors, have accelerated this.
Yes.
But nonetheless, we said that a divorce is coming. We said there is going to be a U.S.-China polarity.
Yes.
And countries are going to have to choose sides. But can you say that the battleground isn't going to be for countries like the UK or Canada or Russia when you're talking about China at this point in time, but places like Africa, the continent of Africa, the Middle East, places, Southeast Asia, places that at the moment could tilt either way, and you're going to have both China and the US vying to do business in those countries and to essentially, be the big dog in those areas. I mean, that's where the battleground is going to be.
That's exactly correct. That's exactly right. I mean, we're going to see a titanic struggle between two blocks, just as we did during the Cold War. I know there's all sorts of people who are saying, we're not going to get into another Cold War. I think we are in a Cold War. I think that's exactly where we are.
Big time Cold War.
It's not the same as the old Cold War. There are certain aspects of it which are different. But people are going to have to pick sides, and they're going to. I mean, and some countries will do exactly what they did during the Cold War, which is they will play the one off against the other. I mean, you have countries like perhaps India. India is a good example, which will go to the Chinese and say, well, if we don't give us this, we'll go to the US over that. And they will play those kind of games, just as happened during the Cold War. All of that is going to return with a vengeance, with perhaps much bigger economic rivalry dimension than there was to the old Cold War, which was much more a military, strategic sort of conflict. But, that's where we're heading. And I mean, I think a country like Britain really had no choice, actually. I mean, I really don't think it had any sort of choice. I mean, I can think of other places which might have done, but Britain was not one. And to the extent that this decision took as long as it did, that's perhaps the only surprise about it.
Yeah, there's going to be a Cold War with technology at the forefront. Yeah.
Technology at the forefront and, two gigantic technological powers. And they're going to be waging it. And, it'll be a full spectrum one. It'll also be, there will be a military, there'll be a military perspective of it. I mean, there will be battle over resources, exactly as there was in the Cold War, but it will be on a bigger scale. It'll be a more global one. The old Cold War was primarily fought out in Europe. This one is going to be everywhere. It's going to be in every corner of the world. It's going to be affected to an even greater extent than was the case during the Cold War of the Soviet-US rivalry.
Yeah. So who do you want in the U.S.? Fighting this Cold War, Trump or Biden? Hey, maybe that's for another video. That's probably for another video.
Well, I think you want someone who knows what he's doing. Anybody who rather gently.
All right, let's wrap it up. All right, Alexander Curse, thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Smash that like. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. You will find a link to donate to us in the description box down below underneath the video. Your donations really help out this channel a whole lot. And go to the Duran shop, pick up some merchandise. I've put all kinds of different products on the site today, yesterday, and today, including enamel magic mugs.
Wow.
Really nice. Yeah, really nice. Check it out. I put them up literally just a couple of hours ago. So those are really nice as well. And our friends at the Patriotic Legacy Alexander, the Patriot Beacon, they're still running their contest. You can win a Patriot Beacon 3, 20% off at checkout when you put the code Duran20 at checkout. You get 20% off anything you purchase from the Patriotic Legacy, and you're automatically entered into the contest to win the Patriot Beacon 3. They ship internationally as well. So lots of stuff going on.
Absolutely right. I mean, this is the Patriot Beacon, made by our friends at the Patriotic Legacy, made in the United States. One of these amazing products that the United States produces, which just oozes quality. And what is it? It is a torch, as we say in Britain, or a flashlight, as I think you say in the United States. But it is much more than just that. It is what Alex calls the Swiss Army knife of flashlights. But of course, let's start with the fact that it is a flashlight or a torch. You can see that it's got an exceptionally strong, clear beam. So you can see amazingly clearly, very far, huge distances. And it's almost like daylight. It's extraordinary how much detail you can see, by the way, with this light. And how far you can see. It's almost as if day has come back. You can also dim it. So if you're in a confined space or you've got people around you and don't want to dazzle them, you can have a less powerful light. And of course, if you want to walk down the road and, or, you know, in the dark, and you want to alert people to the fact that you're there, then, as I said, you can have it flashing like that. So that's which is also very useful, because, by the way, that alerts people to the fact that you're there much better. But it's a lot more than just a flashlight. First of all, it's solar powered, as you can see. So all you have to do is keep it out in the sun, and it's always there for you. You don't have to worry about batteries. If you're as absent-minded and as careless as I am, you know how important that is. I'm always forgetting to recharge things, be it my mobile phone or whatever. With this, there is no such problem. All you have to do is keep it out in the light, and it's there for you at all times. I said that I'm constantly forgetting to recharge my mobile phone. If I have my Patriot Beacon with me, that isn't a problem, because you will find there that there's a port where you can actually recharge your mobile phone or your laptop or your tablet or whatever else you need to recharge. It's there for you, so you can do it. It's also, if you get lost, you know, if you're walking in the woods, as I often do in the dark with my dogs, well, it's got a compass there. You get lost, you can find your bearings very quickly. If you're driving somewhere and your sat-nav fails, which happens quite regularly in some parts of Europe, again, you've got a compass immediately to hand. Now, if you have it in your car, it has another huge advantage. It's also an incredibly useful tool. Firstly, if you need to alert people nearby to where you are, or if you need to call your dogs, as I sometimes have to do, there's an alarm you can press, and it makes that sound, and that's a really good strong sound. It's also got a magnet, so you can put it at the side of your car, or as I often do, by the way, in my cellar, and it's, you know, immediately accessible. You can get hold of it right away. It's a very good, neat way of putting it somewhere which is close to hand. It's also a very useful tool, so you can use it as a hammer, or if you have to sort of rescue someone, you can break the windscreen of a car, for example, and it's got a seat belt cutter. So you can cut the seat belt, cut somebody out of a seat belt very fast. So it's an incredibly useful thing. But what I really love about it, more than anything else, is how it looks. It's got this extraordinary quality and purposefulness. You feel when you're handling it that you have a quality product, which you absolutely do. And when you see it, it gives you that confidence also. So, Patriot Beacon, made by our friends at Patriotic Legacy. You have to have one. It's made in the United States, but it ships all over the world. And at the end of the program, Alex will tell you how you can join the competition and make yourself an owner of one. Now, we also have, as Alex said, our own shop, and we have amazing products there. Growing numbers of products. Here we go. We've done a program about the United States and how it's exerting itself in the world. And we have a mug. You can see a mug there with the flag of the United States. I've also got a mug with the British flag on it, but my wife has it at the moment. But we got Australia, English-speaking countries, 15-ounce mugs, amazing, the best mugs you can find anywhere. We've also got 11-ounce mugs now, and this one is a mug with the flag of Greece. We're both from, well, we're both Greeks, and so it's good to have our own flag there. And as Alex has said, we now have enameled mugs also. So our gallery of mugs is improving all the time. They're all of outstanding quality. They're pretty much indestructible. I should know. I've been drinking from mugs, you know, since I was a teenager, smashing and breaking lots, but not these. They all survive. They're all in perfect condition, all the ones I've had for a year and a half, and now I'm getting so many more. By the way, this is our mug with our own double-headed eagle that you see there. But you will also find shirts, long sleeve, short sleeve t-shirts, V-neck shirts, tank tops, polo shirts like the one I'm wearing at the moment. You will find books on all sorts of subjects, ebooks on all sorts of subjects. You will find hats, hoodies, and stickers. Alex is expanding the range of products in our shop all the time. Go to our shop, see what's there. You will see amazing things. You will help the Duran by going to our shop and buying those things. Remember our Patriot Beacon, well, the Patriot Beacon from our friends at Patriotic Legacy. Alex will tell you how you can access our shop and get all of these wonderful things.
You'll find a link to the Patriotic Legacy and the DuranShop.com in the description box underneath this video. Alexander Mercurs, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.